Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. If you are a visitor with us, we are so glad that you are here. If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on Facebook, and you can also find us on the web, and the address is on the back of your bulletin. So we invite you to participate in any of those ways and to find out more about us. We have a couple of announcements this morning. We have the Historical Society that invites you to the Opera House from 2 to 4 today, so we'd like to do that. We also have the new members class that began last week, and next week we meet at the Lumberyard. And so it's not just for people who want to become members that haven't been members, but also for people who want to know, what does it mean to be United Methodist? What are some of the things that folks of the United Methodist Churches believe? And so we switch our meeting places for that, and that will be this Tuesday at the Lumberyard. So we invite you to that. Our annual conference is coming up at Lakeside, and so I invite you, if you've never been, to come and see what it's like to be around 1,300 clergy and 2,500 lay people as they come together to make decisions for you. And also, ordination is on Tuesday night. If you've never been to an ordination ceremony, it is amazing. And so we invite you to any one of those different things. Come and shop, worship, and have some ice cream at the patio. Those are some of the things. Next, June 4th, many of you know that part of my responsibilities when I lived in Toledo and even today is the president of the board of a program called STARS. It stands for Standing Together Against Real Slavery. The woman who founded the program is a survivor of human trafficking, and we are part of a community called Shared Hope International. Shared Hope International was one of the first groups that addressed the needs of human trafficking in America. And so she is a survivor. She has been through incredible things. She will be here to speak to us in the social room at 1 on Sunday the 5th. Sunday the 4th. 5th. So she will be here to worship with us. Her name is Alessandra De Romano. And so she will be here with us that Sunday, and then she'll be here to speak with us after the worship service. So I invite you to invite everyone you know. It is an important, she will talk a lot about internet, how kids are and young people are groomed, and how dangerous some of the internet things are. And so it's important information for us. So I think those are the announcements. Did I have them, Vicki? Do you have any? Is there anything else that I'm forgetting?
Next Sunday will be Memorial Day weekend Sunday, and we will be recognizing our veterans and our active service people. So if you could, when you come and you are a service person, active or vet, that if you could wear your hat, maybe not wear it while you're in worship, but if you could bring it and wear it, they will be bringing the colors to the front of the sanctuary, and then Kathy Miller will be singing God Bless America. So we just like to invite all of our veterans, if you know some that aren't here this morning and you would like to let them know about this, we would appreciate that very, very much. Also, I have a special announcement. Today is Pastor Melissa's birthday.
Thank you very much, and this has been a great year for me, so I really appreciate it. Thank you. If there are no other announcements, yeah.
Just a reminder, there is a trustees meeting this Wednesday. We canceled last week.
Right. So, Wednesday night trustees. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Heavenly and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for the morning, for the chance for us to begin our day coming together as a community and to worshiping you. May we never forget, O gracious God, what you've done for us and what a precious gift we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Be with us this morning. Help us to quiet our hearts and our minds that we might be here to be fully present with you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Join me in the call to worship. The Spirit of God is here.
The Spirit of God calls us to worship and praise as one body.
The Spirit of God delights in our presence.
God's Holy Spirit rejoices alongside us when we gather together.
The Spirit of truth speaks to us when we are together as one community.
The Spirit of God grants
us wisdom, guiding our lives together. Amen. Our opening song is number 707. Comes together, God is present and rejoices with us. Will you turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ? find our way back to our seats, we invite the children to come forward for the children's time. Good morning, you guys. Guess what? The pressure is on. There's only two dudes up here, so we're counting on you this morning. Well, this morning we're going to talk about a couple of different things. Do you know that I was born in a community called Maumee? Have you ever heard of Maumee? No? How do you think you get there? Do you know the directions? If somebody said, you know, we have to meet up with you, but we'll meet you in Maumee. Do you know how would you get there? Any ideas? Yeah, I know. What about if they said, we're going to go on vacation and we're going to Cleveland to catch a plane. Do you know how to get to Cleveland? No, me either. So I have to, and when I came here, people said, oh, well, you need to go see this in Fort Wayne. Well, I didn't know how to get there. So can you think of how I would find places that I needed to be? What are some of the things that, what are some of the tools I could use? Your parents ever go anywhere and they have to find their way? Do you know what a map is? Yeah, you've seen those, huh? But they're kind of old-fashioned. We don't use maps much anymore. Have you ever heard your parents talking into the phone and saying, take me to, and they find directions on their phone? You ever heard the phone talking? Do you know what GPS is? You guys probably do. I was probably, you know. It is on here. Look, I'll show you. I have this GPS thing. And this is what saved me from all kinds of things. I have, look, it's a map. And it shows us right where we are at. See that blue dot? That's us. That's where we are right now. It's called GPS, but even so, this is a map. So the GPS only works with a map. Well, you know, the cool thing is I can tell it to go anywhere, and it will show me how to get there. And it will talk to me and tell me step by step how to get there. Well, the Bible tells us that God has given us kind of our own GPS called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps guide our lives for us and helps us make decisions. When we have to make a choice, what do we think of? Do we think about how we feel about something? Sometimes. But that's not always a good idea because our feelings change. But the Holy Spirit will tell us how to make good decisions in our life and which ways, where we should make our turns so that we can live a happy and successful life. And we even have a map. So if the Holy Spirit is our GPS, we still need a map, and the map is our Bible. And so when we read the Bible and we listen to the Holy Spirit, we can make sure that all the choices that we make are going to be healthy for us and good for us. Okay, let's have a prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides our lives, that shows us the way to go, and the scripture, your holy word, that tells us, that gives us a roadmap for our journey called life. And we thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for these children. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would one of you guys want to help me out with a microphone? Can you guys do that? You guys could do it together as a team. Would that be cool? You want to do it as a team? All right. You got to make sure you get your suckers too. All right, thanks, guys. All right, we gather our joys and concerns. And so, Miss Marie's got one over here. Right over here, guys. Oh, we have one abandoning ship already.
Do you leave already? I want to keep Emily Dealey in our prayers and thoughts. She broke her leg on a field trip. They went roller skating Monday. And she's got a cast above her knee. So it's kind of, she's doing better, but it's going to be 6 weeks at least in the summer. And it's just kind of hard to get around right now. You know, we've got the wheelchairs and the crutches, but it's just not real convenient right now. So just kind of keep her in her prayers. And also Sarah, in the respect yes. to getting her around and everything and stuff. So just kind of keep them in the prayers and stuff. So thank you.
Others. Way over here. Okay, we got a couple over here.
Friday will be Jacob's birthday.
Yay, Jacob. There you go.
I just want to thank everybody for all of your prayers and the cards and everything. I'm doing really good. I'm getting around, getting out. I have my 2 week appointment on Wednesday, so we're hopefully going to be going to crutches and getting off the walker because I feel old with my walker. I really don't like the walker, so hopefully going to crutches and looking more like a teenager.
Awesome.
Today is Dennis and I's 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
And on an even better note, we are almost done with corn and he has planted every kernel.
Oh, yay. Others over here, Mr. Gladden's got one.
I had to bring Kathy up to her house Thursday for an evaluation. She is still in Van Crest up at Van Wert, but she's doing real well. She's in the best spirits that I've seen her for I don't know when. She told me probably about a week before she came out here, that's the first time she hasn't been in pain and hasn't took pain medicine for since last fall, since it happened. So I think she's her spirits is really good, and I think she probably will be coming home for too long. So thank you for all your prayers and everything that with us and at this time. So, and I know she thanks you too. So thank you.
Yeah, Marie's granddaughter Mackenzie will be graduating this afternoon.
Oh,
and I guess I have something else to be thankful for in that. This will be my third graduation I've been at in the last 3 weeks. And my joy there is that, unlike Ohio State, there will not be over 11,000 people graduating from Van Wert.
Amen. I hear that. Any others?
What?
Awesome. So the accident was when? When the accident was Friday?
Friday night.
Any others?
I just wanted to update on my niece, Madison. She is doing awesome. They got her up walking yesterday, her food's staying down. Now the prayers are just that her ejection fraction increases and that the fluid comes out of her lungs, but she's in great spirits and loves cards and anything. She has animals. I mean, she's doing great. So thank you for your prayers.
That's fantastic. And it's been really nice to be able to follow her progress on Facebook as well. So for those of us who don't have a way to do that. Any others? I do want to make an announcement. As many of you know that we are still grieving and our loss of Annie. And Annie had been our staff parish chair. And so we have been prayerfully meeting and discerning who was called to fill her place And I'm happy to announce that Nikki Booker has said that she would take her place as SPRC chair for us, at least for the remainder of this year. And so we thank you for that and serving as that. So, any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you so much. We give you thanks for lifting up folks to be a part of the active members in the church and to be part of the leadership. We pray, Lord, that you continue to send leaders to us and that lift them up within the congregation, particularly as we move forward into this next year. Lord, we thank you for birthdays and anniversaries, especially, Lord, we thank you for 40 years, an amazing gift that you help us to remind us of what covenant keeping is and how important it is, O gracious God. And we give you thanks and praise for the places that you have been this past week and the weeks before with those who have been through surgeries and healings. And especially, Lord, we praise you for Taylor, that you have been with her and that surgery has gone so well. We also give you thanks for Mackenzie, that or for Madison, Lord, that you have been with her as well, and also with Kathy. We ask, O gracious God, that you continue to be with those who are sick and those who struggle with health issues. We know, O gracious God, there are so many places where our health keeps us from living the abundant life that you would like for us to live. We thank you for graduations, Lord, and for Mackenzie, gracious God, and we would know that you would know that you would mark her path and just open doors for all of our graduates as they move forward in life. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be their GPS and for your Holy Word to be their map. Oh, Lord, we know with assurance for those of us that have lived a number of years that is a sure and true way to have abundant life. Be with us as a faith community, gracious God, as we come together to worship you, to recognize and lay claim to our faith in Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And that you would just hear these unspoken prayer requests that are on our hearts, those that we lifted up this morning, and those that we have not lifted up but hold close to us, that you would hear them, O gracious God, and that you would give heart to us and speak to us in a moment of silence. Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, for the world and for the brokenness of the world. We particularly pray for our beloved United Methodist Church as General Conference has come to an end. And as we have struggled with issues that divide us, we pray for unity, O gracious God, that you would be the wisdom and the guiding force that would keep us united as United Methodists, that we might be the people with open hearts, open minds, open doors that would lead to your peace, the peace that you offer to us through Christ. Lord, we pray for all of those places where illness and tragedy has struck this past week, especially for that flight. We pray for the folks in Egypt that are looking for the remains and for the details, and for the orange box, O gracious God, that would give us answers. We pray for their families who grieve, and pray, O Lord, that you would comfort them. All these things, Lord, we trust into you, and we come to you as a community, unified as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God has given to us all that we have, the blessings that we receive each and every day. And so, in response, we give back to God. As our faithful witness, can I have the ushers come forward, please? Stand as you're able. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for delighting in creation and inspiring us with your gifts. As we share these gifts of joy and love with Christ's Holy Church, bless these gifts with your presence, that they may bring your hope and wisdom to God's beautiful and created world. Amen. Our hymn is number 133. if you guys had as much fun as I did singing that, but that's... Would you remain standing for the reading of our gospel? John 16, verses 12 through 15. I have so much more to say to you, more now than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from me what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Some of the disciples said to one another, "What does he mean? What is he saying? In a little while you will see me no more. Then after a little while you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father." And they kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? I don't understand what he's saying." And Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So, with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive. Your joy will be made complete." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Well, today concludes another season for the senior choir. I want to take the time to thank all of you in the congregation for your support, for your compliments, and we really appreciate hearing feedback from you. I wish to take the time to thank Linda and the choir for their devotion and dedication. Yeah. They're a tremendous group of people, and I see a lot out there that could be right up here helping us out. But that's up for you. You know, that's up to you to decide. But you're always welcome. We can always use more. We're going to conclude with a song that my father had one adjective for. And I think you all know what his adjective was. Powerful. Powerful. This song was dedicated by the Cecil Allison family and is entitled "How Great Thou Art in Majesty."
It's hard to follow that. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over our house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unwaveringly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious God, this is your day. We pray, O Lord, that we may know that we are in a holy place, that you are present with us, and that your words are words of wisdom for us to hear this morning. We pray, O gracious God, that you open our hearts and open our minds, that we may be renewed in our faith. Amen. Well, we've talked about a lot of things going on and a lot of activities happening in the next couple of weeks. And next weekend is what we've already talked about. Next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. And do you know what that means for most pastors? It means the dreaded season is upon us. Now, why do we consider it dreaded? Well, mostly because folks view the summer season as a time of vacation and relaxation. And that often translates into a vacation from church. Well, this is our last week, like we've said, for choir, for our senior choir, for our junior church. And for most of the programs that we'll take a sabbatical for the summer. Like I said, we had our first new members class last week, and both of us decided that maybe summer is not the best time to start a new members class. So the suggestion was made that we might want to wait until the fall, and I tend to agree, but I'm going to give it one more week anyways, in case some people just didn't have it on their calendar. Anyway, we even organized the church schedule, and it seems to be saying, this is a time for you. Take it easy. Take the summer off and relax. And I've often wondered what would be the response if we told people that we were just shutting down the church for the summer, that we were going to take, the whole church was going to take the summer off. And I would imagine that the response would be that people would be very upset and they would say, what do you mean you're going to take the summer off? Because they know and they feel that somebody needs to be in church on Sunday to represent the rest of us. Now, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but it is to some extent our general thoughts about worship. And I want you to know that it breaks my heart. The summers are so hard for us as pastors because we look out at the waning crowds and our hearts break. I don't know about you, but I'm not a party giver. I'm not a great... In the 80s and the 90s, there was a great movement of women who were going back into the workplace and doing things like Pampered Chef and Avon and Tupperware. And I thought those were the greatest things. And so I'd have these parties and I would sign up and I would get invitations out and I would make sure the date was on the calendar and I would call people to remind them and nobody would come. Ever. I don't understand it. Even my sister didn't come. And my heart would break because I thought it said something about me. And I wonder, how does Jesus feel when he looks and sees empty seats and empty pews. Paul himself seemed to struggle with low church attendance also. He says in the letter to the Hebrews, "And let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works, not abandoning our meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and even more so because the day is drawing near." Paul has a great way of setting up arguments. He is giving the early church instructions of how to be the church. It is hard for us to remember that the early church didn't have any history. They didn't have any model to base its formation on. As soon as it broke away from the temple, they began to do radically new and different things. They met in homes and not in the temple. They broke bread together. They talked about the body and the blood, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So it makes sense that they struggled to establish how to live together as a community. And Paul suggests to them in this portion of the letter three things that would keep them living faithfully together. They are the "let us" commands. He says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and the assurance that faith brings. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love good works, not abandoning meetings as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Do you see how Paul's argument is beginning to take shape? He began by reminding them of what they had faith in, namely the death and resurrection, the blood and body of Jesus, who brought them the opportunity to be in direct relationship with God. He tore the curtain by his own sacrifice so that we have direct access to God through Christ. Most of us are going to miss the enormity of that statement. See, we're not only post-resurrection people, but we are post-reformation people. In other words, we're people who have celebrated direct access to God for generations. But until Jesus came and died, the idea of a relationship with any God, let alone the God that is so holy, his name can't even be spoken, was unheard of. It was radical. It was unbelievable. We tend to think that the only thing Jesus did for us was to open the doors to heaven. But faith in Christ is so much more than just that. What Jesus did for us is profoundly lost on so many post-Reformation folks. Not only does God welcome you, but he seeks you out. Like the prodigal father who took every single night, walked out onto his porch and scanned the horizon for the return of his one lost son, God seeks a relationship with each one of us. And Paul tells us to hold on to the confession of our hope, which is having access to God and eternal life through Christ Jesus. And he says, hold on to it, hold fast to it, as if your life depends on it. Don't take it for granted. Don't let it out of your sight. Don't trust it with people who don't understand. Imagine you have a precious work of art. This piece, as so much artwork is unlovely to most of us. And we can't imagine its worth. Imagine you need to store it. Would you leave it with someone who couldn't appreciate it? Who couldn't imagine what it was worth? Of course not. Of course not. They might miss its value. They might tuck it away in some dusty corner. They might put it somewhere where it's overexposed to the elements, maybe even carelessly placing it where it could be easily damaged. Paul is warning those early Christians and us that our faith may risk the same fate if we are casual and cavalier about it, if we handle it with the same lack of care as one who doesn't know or understand its profound value. And finally, he ends with this part, and let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works, not abandoning our meetings, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And that's really what I want to talk about. I want to, up until now, Paul is telling them what to do, but here, Paul reveals to them where the problem has been. They have been unfaithful in gathering together for worship. They have been unfaithful, and their lack of attentiveness to worship is weakening the message. Imagine if we would not have received the message because the church, the early church, failed to gather together. Imagine if they took summer off. Well, in fact, they didn't understand the value of the faith that they received in Christ. And as I thought about it, I was amazed at the timeless truth of Paul's instructions and the all too familiar struggles that we have in church today. We too struggle with being faithless. Faithless in our relationship with God, faithless in our spurring each other on or encouraging one another, and faithless in our worship. If our dictionary is revised in the next several years, I would wonder if under the definition of faithless, you would find an asterisk which reads a once prized characteristic of human character, which is now extinct. And you might think that's a little bit over the top, that's a little ridiculous. But there is more truth to that statement than many of us realize. The characteristic of faithfulness is certainly one element that we're losing in our culture today. Marriage breaks up because of the lack of faithfulness. Friendships end in bitterness because of a lack of faithfulness. Churches suffer because of a lack of faithfulness. Unfortunately, faithfulness and words related to it, like commitment and loyalty and reliability and integrity, are no longer considered valuable and the necessary characteristic that every Christian should have is faithful. It should mark us because it marks God. 2 Timothy tells us that God is faithful. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, since he cannot deny himself. Folks, God's faithful response to us is not dependent on us. But then how much more should we be faithful, knowing that God will not fail us? Part of that faithfulness is regular worship. As Christians, we're called to worship. There is no other way about it. I so wish I could tell you worship is important, but so is this and so is that. But in good consciousness, I cannot. It would suggest to me that we need to look at the value of our faith. What is our faith worth if we find it too inconvenient to spend 1 hour a week in the presence of our God? The Bible teaches the importance of corporate worship. In the Old Testament, we can look to that and see that worship marks the people as God's people. Consider Psalm 27. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask the Lord, I will seek after, to lie in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And Psalm 84 says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sings for joy of the living God. Even a sparrow finds a house, a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altar. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, singing your praises, for one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. Now, I get that we're busy. I get that we have sports. I get that we go on vacations. But we are still called to integrity. We're still called to worship together because, frankly, we need each other. John Wesley said that there is no personal holiness apart from social holiness. That means that without one another engaged in missions together, we have no foundation for holiness. I have people tell me all the time, oh, but Pastor, don't you know, I can't go to church. I got this to do, and you know, I pray. I don't need to go to church. I believe in God, and I pray at home on my own. Maybe you do, but I can guarantee it won't last forever. I can guarantee, I tell the kids that, you know, it's like when we build a campfire. Everyone who's a scout knows that you can't build a fire when your logs are far apart. You have to put them together. And when you're done for the evening and the evening wanes and you want the fire to go out, you slowly pull the logs away from each other because when they're not together, the fire goes out. Well, here's what the church does for us. It keeps us accountable. We run the risk of becoming spiritually dead when we stop coming to church. Why? Why? Because we need to see the power of God in the lives of others and in the community of believers. When Miss Betty was here and told us about her daughter's miraculous hearing being restored, didn't we attribute that to a blessing of God? And when we share our joys and concerns, it's because we believe that prayer works. And that the more people that are praying, the better. It's because we believe in giving thanks to God for the blessings. And it's a witness that God's blessing us all of the time. It's also to hold each other accountable. Now, this is not being judgmental. When I was in Venedosha, the other week, I met with the other clergy, and the Presbyterian pastor, is anybody here from Venedosha? Okay. He said, if you're not in church on Sunday morning, somebody's going to call you and talk to you about it. I thought, wow, that's interesting. You know, what if we adopted that? But not in that, we're Wesleyans. We are Wesleyans. And so Wesley says, in forming his small groups, he wanted people to meet with each other to lift them up in love and in faith. And they asked three simple questions. One, how is it with your soul? Two, where have you failed to embrace faith? And three, how are you serving God? See, people came together and they regularly confessed those things, so not so that they were condemned for falling short, but instead, they just the opposite. They were lifted up and they were encouraging one another in how to do better the next week. If we miss church regularly, we begin to drift away, I can guarantee it. It is a human nature. If we stop doing any behavior regularly, we eventually stop it altogether. That's the basic principles of recovery programs. That we know that they work because they're based on human behavior. If you stop attending regularly, then you aren't hearing the word of God and you become dull in hearing. Paul writes in Hebrews 5, about this we have much to say that is hard for you to explain, hard to explain to you. He's talking about the death and the work of Jesus on the cross. He says, since you've become dull in understanding, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, But instead, you still need someone to teach you about the basic elements of God. See, the people were simply claiming Christ, but having no understanding and no follow-through. And they were still ignorant about what their faith was based on. I hear it all the time. People say, I can't witness to my faith. What if they ask me a question? So, well, that is pretty sad. If we can't answer a question about what we believe, then maybe we need to go back and learn what we believe. Finally, failing to attend church regularly causes us to fall away. We all know. If we're, I go to church. Oh, I'm going to go. I'm going to go back. I'm gonna say something. It is going to, because my brother will never hear it, I'm going to call him out. You know, my family and I were raised in the church. He has not been to church since he was a senior in high school. But he will tell you that he is a faithful believer. Not because he doesn't want to go, but because for the last 30 years, he's been a little busy. We drift away. These three steps will secure each person's life in Christ. As we spur each other on in love to good works, as we meet regularly for worship, and as we encourage one another in love. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, I pray that you would just put it on our hearts that we would be passionate to be here, Lord. I know that there is no place on God's green earth that I would rather be on Sunday morning than in church. I love you, Lord, and I want to be here. And I want to be in the presence of my brothers and sisters who also believe and trust in you. May that be true for all of us. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing hymn, 555. Church, you are the bride of Christ. Go into the world and carry the light of Christ with you. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.